I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about the Civil War and Robert E. Lee. The Civil War and Robert E. Lee, right now, as many of you know, across the country, the radical left is continuing its assault on American history and demanding that the Civil War statues be taken down. They began earlier with the Confederate flag, insisting that the Confederate flag be removed from different places and so on, because supposedly it's offensive. Of course, the media chose to ignore the fact that many of those who supported the Southern Confederacy were black. They've ignored the fact that you had many free blacks who were slave owners, and they supported the Confederacy. You had blacks for example, had been slaves of men like Robert E. Lee. And we're going to talk about Lee on the program today. We're going to talk about the fact that Robert E. Lee owned slaves. He did, but he set them free some 10 years before the Civil War. Interestingly, the slaves that he had that he set free chose to stay with him and live on his plantation even after they were set free. They didn't want to go out and try and pursue something else because they had a very good circumstance there with Robert E. Lee. We're going to be studying the testimony of one of his former slaves who was his body servant through the Civil War, the Reverend William Mack Lee. William Mack Lee, who was born on his plantation, raised up by him, and ultimately would go on to become a minister, a Christian minister, established a number of churches and so on, and lived through the Civil War with Robert E. Lee, and he lived into the 20th century. He died in 1930. William Mack Lee. Very interesting history here, but I think it's very, very important. We used to carry a documentary called Warriors of Honor, a great documentary that talked about the faith of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. And if you see the private letters of these men, these were very godly Christian men, God-fearing, Bible-believing Christian men, very convicted about doing the right thing, serving the Lord as and serving as Christian warriors, men of honor. And that's the reason why you have so many people who value their memory, just like we have the Vietnam War Memorial. Many people do not agree with the Vietnam War. They don't agree with the politics of it. They argue that America should not have been in Vietnam. We never should have gotten involved. We had no plan to win. Tens of thousands of Americans, more than 50,000 Americans, lost their lives in Vietnam in a war that made no sense to a lot of people. Nevertheless, we honor as a country the men who fought in that war because they were serving what they believe they were doing their duty. In many cases, they were drafted, of course. But those who served, those who fought, those who died, and so on, are remembered. Much the same can be said about the American Civil War. I think it is possible to honor men like Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson and others without that somehow or other being an endorsement of slavery. And in the case of Robert E. Lee, in particular, the fact that they want to topple his statues and monuments and things like this, as though he somehow or other represents racism and slavery and all this other kind of thing. What's remarkable is that the blacks of the 19th century and those who knew him best, none of them would tell you that, based upon the historic records that we have. And we're going to be looking at this from the Reverend William Mackley. You can find this online, brethren. This is just one of those. This is what should be taught in our schools. This is what our young people should be learning. This is what American blacks should be learning. You know what? More and more blacks in our country, thank the Lord, are awakened to the real history of America, and they've been speaking out. Unfortunately, left-wing media gives the impression that blacks in our country are resentful and they're bitter and so on. And I'm sure there are those who are, but there are many others who are very thankful for America. They are American patriots and they believe in our country. They're thankful for our history and they're waking up to the lies of the Democratic Party and all this leftist craziness that's going on. All right, so this is, let's look at this here, because I saw some powerful quotes that were attributed to this man. I started looking into it, and then I found a website that talks about the black Confederates, blacks who were said to serve with the Confederacy. You had blacks who were free blacks who owned plantations. They owned slaves, and they financially supported the Southern Confederacy. You see, these are things that they're not teaching our kids in school. These are aspects of history that have been hidden away, brushed under the carpet. They don't want people to know, because what they're trying to promote is racial hatred. They're fomenting racial agitation. And when I see this going on, it reminds me of what happened in Germany with the Jewish people. They fomented this hatred against the Jewish people because the Jews there were in positions of power and authority financially, and then they had a certain amount of power politically, and so the Nazis wanted to undermine them and get them out to take over. You had the same issue in Rwanda. I've talked about on this program the Rwanda genocide on a number of occasions. But few people know that the Rwanda genocide was a race war. What you had was you had the Hutu and the Tutsis, and the Hutu and those who were behind them, who were basically Roman Catholic priests, who were Marxists, and they used these Marxist race-baiting arguments in the schools, in the media, in the politics, and so on, to foment hatred against the Tutsis, who had been the dominant tribe there. And according to the report that you can find on EIPS, the European Institute of Protestant Studies, they've got a story on this where they talk about how what had happened was the Catholic priests had gone in there and tried to manipulate the Tutsis. The Tutsis wouldn't go along with it, so they went over to the Hutus and then began all this propaganda against the Tutsis to basically demonize them, get the Hutus to hate them over a period of 40 to 50 years, and then ultimately rise up and mass murder 800,000 Tutsis in 1994. But that's how the Rwanda genocide happened. But they used many of these same race-baiting tactics. Now there you had two different groups of blacks in Rwanda. So what they did was they couldn't focus on skin color, so they focused on the shape of their noses. I'm not kidding. Look this up. We've got the documentary on our page there at noiseofthunderradio.com. You go there and look under the videos. You'll find a documentary called In God's Name. And in that documentary, they talk about how they focused on the shape of the noses, and it was politicized, and they called it nose politics. That was the difference between the Hutu and the Tutsi. It had to do with their noses. This just shows you how absurd and ridiculous all of this race baiting can become. But it has and can have a very deadly consequence. And the Holocaust is one example The Rwanda genocide is another. What's happening now in South Africa and what's been going on for years in South Africa is yet another example. But all of these are the result of Marxist manipulation of education, media, and politics. And when all of that comes together, it can have a very deadly and destructive end. And that's why this is very, very significant, what's going on in our country right now, and how mainstream media, corporate-controlled, leftist, communist media, that's all you can call it, is you have a bunch of communists on TV trying to brainwash everybody. We have these communist politicians, communist professors in our schools and universities brainwashing the young people so that they have this very leftist view that is detached from reality, but is a form of brainwashing and indoctrination. And they're hoping that all of this will come to a very violent revolutionary conclusion, and that on the other side of this civil war that I think they're trying to stir up, they can transform our country into more of a communist society. That's what they want. All right, so let's look at this account here. I saw a very powerful quote. In fact, maybe I should just read this quote. A very powerful quote from the Reverend William Mack Lee. William Mack Lee would go on, after Robert E. Lee died, he would go on to get an education and become a minister, and then he founded a number of churches and dedicated his life to the cause of the gospel. But here's what he says, or this was the quote that caught my eye. I saw this on the internet and I wondered if this was an accurate quote. But he says this, he says, quote, "I was raised by one of the greatest men in the world. There was never one born of a woman greater than General Robert E. Lee, according to my judgment. All of his servants were set free 10 years before the war, but all remained on the plantation until after the surrender." That was the original quote that I saw. And I thought, wow, I wonder if that's real. They had a photo online of William Mack Lee, who was described as the body servant of Robert E. Lee. And I thought, is this a real testimony? Then you go online and you can find the book that was copyrighted and published in the year 1918. And the book, again, William Mack Lee lived until 1930. So he lived well into the 20th century. But here's the title of the book. He died at the age of 90, for those who are wondering. He died at the age of 90. But the title of the book is History of the Life of Reverend William Mack Lee, Body Servant of General Robert E. Lee, Through the Civil War, Cook from 1861 to 1865. And then his book was copyrighted in the year 1918 by the Reverend William Mack Lee. So this is his book. He wrote this book and published it himself. So this is not a book written by someone else about him. This is a book that he wrote while he was still alive, wrote and published while he was still alive. That's why I think it's so valuable. But then he lists here in one of the front pages, he says, General Robert E. Lee and other generals for whom Reverend William Mack Lee cooked 4 years during the Civil War when he was servant to General Robert E. Lee. Now, servant, not a slave, because Lee had set him free before that. But he was the cook in the camp with the Confederate generals like Stonewall Jackson, General Longstreet, and a number of others. But he knew men like Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson, who are probably the two most memorable of the Confederate generals during the war. All right, we are going to go to our commercial break. When we come back, we're going to read more of the testimony of William Mack Lee and his thoughts on General Robert E. Lee. What would he say about them taking down all of these monuments today? We'll talk more when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today: the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. Today, we are talking about the history of William Mack Lee, the Reverend William Mack Lee, who had been the body servant and cook of General Robert E. Lee during the Civil War. And, well, he was actually the cook. He makes that distinction during the Civil War for Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson, and many others. But before we go on with this history, I want to mention a couple of things. I was planning today to do a partial history on William Mack Lee and then to answer an inquiry from Miss Sandy on our Facebook page, where she wrote, "Chris Pinto, I would love to hear your comments on this." And then she posted an article on the Irish slave trade, the enslavement of the Irish. Now, this is, and it's, that's, that whole subject really needs at least one show, maybe more, because it's a very important subject and it is forgotten history. It's history. Why? Because the communists have basically written it out of our history books because they don't want anyone to realize that, yes, white slavery is something that has been practiced throughout history. Just like they don't want anybody to know that black and Arab Muslims sailed up and down the coastlines of Europe in the Middle Ages and kidnapped Western European people and enslaved them, brought them back to Africa by the hundreds of thousands. I mean, you had 1 to 2 million Western European white people who were enslaved by Africans and bought and sold in Africa in the white slave trade. This went on up through the 19th century. Now, they've written that out of the history books. They've written the Irish slave trade out of the history books. There's a lot to say about that, especially when you involve Oliver Cromwell and what went on during Cromwell's time in Ireland, because that's a lot of controversy. Interesting book on Cromwell, however, that I discovered recently. And the title of it is Cromwell Was Framed. Cromwell Was Framed. I've not read the book. I've only read the reviews on it, but I'm going to get a copy eventually. I'm planning to anyway. And I want to read it because the book talks about misrepresentations of Oliver Cromwell. And there's a lot of this that goes on. You have people who are tampering with history because, as Karl Marx noted, history is the battleground. the perception of history is, I mean, that develops the worldview of a population. Right now, what people think about America is by and large based on their view of America's history. Now, we're going to come back here to the testimony of William Mack Lee, who called Robert E. Lee one of the greatest men who had ever lived. And that it was, for him an honor to be raised. He says, I was raised by one of the greatest men in the world. There was never one born of a woman greater than General Robert E. Lee, according to my judgment. Now, he's attributing to him the characteristic that Jesus had given John the Baptist, that of those born of woman, no one had risen higher than John the Baptist. He's sort of using that kind of phraseology here, but applying it to General Robert E. Lee. Ask yourself the question, would the people who lived under Fidel Castro have that view of Fidel Castro? Would those who lived under Joseph Stalin, when Stalin was alive, would those who were closest to him say that about Joseph Stalin or any communist leader anywhere? And the reason I ask that question is because it's these communists who want to take down all the monuments of Robert E. Lee and others, because they say, oh, these men represent slavery and racism and all these bad things, right? And supposedly the communists are going to come in and they've got better ideas. And so to make way for the new ideas, their transformation of America, they hope, and we pray, God forbid, they're thinking, well, we need to get rid of these old figures that symbolize things that the communists think are distasteful or insulting to members of the black community, supposedly. What's interesting is that the members of the black community who lived in the 19th century and who knew Robert E. Lee did not have that view of him. Those who knew him personally did not have that view of him. That's what I find very interesting and ironic about what's happening. And when we read the testimony of William Mack Lee, his testimony, I think, is very powerful because he was a Christian man. And he remained with Robert E. Lee until Lee died, and then Lee had remembered him in his will and left him money to pursue an education. All right, well, here's what he says. I'll just read his testimony. He says, quote, I have been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ the best I knew with my limited preparation for 57 years. He said, quote, my master at his death left me $360 to educate myself with. I went to school. I studied hard at the letter, but my greatest learning came from Jesus Christ. God sent me out to preach, and when God sends a man out, he is qualified both with the Holy Ghost and the Spirit. He makes his words sharp as a two-edged sword and his feet as a burning pillar of brass. Praise the Lord. I mean, can you believe this testimony? This is an amazing testimony. This is what our kids should be learning in school. This is real history. This is the real history of our country. Robert E. Lee died. He left this man $360, which obviously was worth a whole lot more than it is today, back at that time. And he left him money to pursue an education. He went to school. He says, quote, at the close of the war, I did not know A from B, although I had been preaching 2 years before the war. I was married 6 years before the war. My wife died in 1910. I am the father of 8 daughters, and I have 21 grandchildren and 8 great-grandchildren. My youngest child is 42 years old. So he was an older man at the time that he's writing this. He was about 78 years old, or thereabout, because he dies in 1930 at the age of 90. So, and this is being published in 1918. So he was an older man. In fact, he says at the beginning that this would be the only book he would write because he felt he was too old to write anything more. But he goes on from there. He becomes educated. He's preaching the gospel, and he founds a number of churches. He begins planting churches, starting congregations, getting the funding for building these church buildings and so on, and then establishing congregations, and then he moves on to the next one. But his writing is very godly, and he just has this endearing view of Robert E. Lee. And then he goes on to talk about his own work and what God has led him to do as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I believe this is the kind of thing that should be put back in our schools. We need to drive out the Marxist rewritten history, the fake history, the one that is intended to sabotage America. And we need to restore a true understanding, a godly understanding. I believe we've got to restore the Christian history of America because this is part of it. And this is what helps us. I think that the Word of God will help us overcome all of these divisions about race because we're told in the Scripture, Jesus said the flesh profits nothing. And that henceforth, the Scripture says, we should know no man after the flesh. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We're going to have to stop it there. But we'll be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.